Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show was called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. Most of you know by now that I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. We have some changes been made to the show. We have a new format. It's a call-in, ask your relationship advice, speak to those who have crossed over. We also are sorry to say that our co-host, Kim, has had to leave us. She's had such a busy life lately, and it's really she was with us and gave her time unselfishly, and we wish her the best in the future. Nicole is not only my co-host now, she is also the producer of the show. The show wouldn't be possible without her. Now, for those of you who are new to the show, Nicole's a beautiful young woman. She's a writer. She's an entrepreneur. She's a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Now, please feel free to call in and ask your questions. The call-in number is 646-929-0958. Now, Nicole, you've been having a lot of changes in your life. Before we go to our callers, what's happening in your life?
How did I know that you were going to bring that up?
Because you're psychic now? It's contagious, I think.
It is very contagious.
How are things going? I know you have a beginning relationship. How are things going with you?
I have a friend.
Okay.
I'm going to say I have a friend.
You have a friend. And, well, if you remember, when we talk about, when we deal with our lovers or our soulmates, we have to talk to them as we would a friend. So beginning
yes,
a relationship as a friendship is probably the best place that you
no,
can
well,
do.
Well, basically, I mean, it's very similar to what I said last week, you know. I mean, I'm at the stage in my life right now where, you know, I'm placing, you know, work in my career to be, you know, number one. Because if I ever do get to a position where I want to share my life with somebody, I want actually something substantial to share with them, which means that I would like to get, you know, my own financial status underway. I would like to, you know, accomplish certain things with, you know, with my life first. But, you know, the universe doesn't always tell you, and it doesn't always come with a map. You know, telling you who's going to come and when they're going to come, you know. So at the same time, when there's an opportunity that is presenting itself, just because I'm saying that I'm not ready, the universe might disagree with me, you know.
Right, of course.
And that's absolutely fine. And the greatest part about, you know, my friend is the fact that we've had this conversation and we actually just said, you know what? You do your thing, I do my thing. If we can spend some time together, that's great. If we don't spend time together, then that's great too. And, you know, it's just you know, like a day-by-day thing, you know. And she's an absolutely amazing, awesome person. And I look forward to every day that I get to learn something new. So, that's pretty much where I stand.
Right, and it's important to make it clear to our listeners that the fact that Nicole's very concerned about being able to make money is a very important thing because women have to support themselves nowadays.
It's not only that, Cindy. It's also the fact that, you know, for the most part, I guess maybe it's just something for me, you know, because I have had the opportunities in my life to do extremely, extremely well, and I've had opportunities in my life, you know, that weren't really, you know, so hot. it's, I mean, as far as my whole success thing, as far as what I'm doing with work, I think it's more or less so I can finish something. I could say that I actually finished something that I started, because in the past it's always been an issue with me, you know, where I start something, I start something, and then it's like I get cold feet and I just pull back. And I don't want to pull back anymore, you know, so I'm pulling out all the stops with what I'm doing business-wise now. And, you know, from the feedback that I'm getting back, you know, from this person that I'm speaking to currently, you know, I'm not pulling back, you know, I'm not pulling any punches there either, you know. It's we're fast becoming good friends, and, you know, she's a great person to talk to. And, you know, she knows how to listen as well as talk to, and she's extremely communicative, which makes it a lot easier.
Absolutely. And, again, just going back to you making a living, it's very important that all of us, men and women, be able to support ourselves so that we don't make excuses for someone's abuse. We don't run what's called a prostitute archetype. We don't stay with a person for money. We can take care of ourselves. And that's the beginning of a healthy beer.
Well, I also want to be a good business partner, though. You know?
Because we talk about
whatever you are in that situation, you know, you're a business partner with somebody, and I want to make sure that I'm as good a partner as I can be.
And that's something we've talked about.
You know, if that's the road.
Quite a lot on this show, that some things, you know, fiscal infidelity, being a bad business partner, cheating business-wise on your mate by just not working or pulling your share or being a spendaholic or some kind of addict that costs your mate a lot of money is just as bad as any other kind of cheating. So, you know, you're coming from a really healthy place, and, you know, all of our listeners are going to be sure to want to hear each week how you're progressing along with this gift that God has given you. Now, I know we have a caller, and this caller has been waiting a while, so...
This caller has been waiting a while, and unfortunately, I have not had the chance yet to... I'm still getting used to the format minus Kim here, because, you know, she's usually the one when I cheat and I go into the screen room, that she's usually the one that tells me when I'm being spoken to.
Okay.
So I have not had the chance to screen this caller yet.
All right.
So
we don't even have to screen
right
it. Why don't you just put the
person... I'm just putting it on. I don't care, so... Hello, you're on the air?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, this is Cindy. Who is this?
Yes, Cindy, this is Frank in California.
Hello, Frank in California. We like to hear from our callers in California. Do you have a specific question that's on your mind that you wanted to get some guidance or illumination?
Sure, I spoke to you back in March. Regarding my court case, I'm planning to go on...
Yes, with your family.
Yes, I remember, Frank.
Yes.
Hello, Nicole. What's been happening with that?
Oh, I'm just waiting.
You're still waiting?
My energy has been shifting, and I'm just trying to control my energy.
You need to know you got a lot of emails about your particular issue from my listeners. And people were really thankful that you shared your problem with them, because many, many people are going through what you're going through, and that we can't stress enough that it is our inner circle, the people that are closest to us, who are the ones who will hurt us the most, and that this is a lifetime in which we will put them in jail, take them to court, punish them in a fair and just way, but we can't let them get away with it. And so many of our listeners were saying you gave them courage to do what they had to do. One of my clients had been really taken, a lot of her inheritance was taken by one of her siblings recently, and she was going to let it go. And because of your call, she actually filed a lawsuit. So I think, you know, what you're doing is hard for you. It's hard for all of us. And you have to do it in spite of guilt, because people who are old souls tend to have a lot of guilt. So, you know, even when they're not doing something to hurt someone, your intention is not to hurt your siblings. It's just that you have to do this because it's what's right.
Yes, what's right. What is actually, that is the word, what is right. And I just put it aside and put it into justice.
And that's exactly it. And remember, what was channeled to me, and I share this all the time, is, if we let people get away with robbing from us or raping us or hurting us in any way, we could have stopped them. And when we didn't stop them, on our soul records goes all the crimes that person does to others. that's part of our soul record. So if someone, you should have, you know, made sure that they paid for what they did, now goes and robs from another person because they think, boy, now I know how to get away with murder. I know how to get away with being a thief. That, those crimes go on your soul records as well. So, you know, we have to, when we're put in these positions, put an end to it. And if you didn't battle this battle, Frank, God would give you another one within your inner circle. And it might be a divorce, a bad divorce. It might be a business partner. You know, you're going to learn this lesson, so you might as well learn it now so you never have to get it again, because you will never allow anyone in your inner circle to do this to you. You will warn them from the beginning that, you know, I'm very kind about it. I'll say, you know, you got away with stealing an inheritance once from me. Don't think you'll get away with it again. I will put you in jail. And, you know, some family members have said things like, oh, you would do that to your family member? And I'm like, yeah, because you would steal from me. How could you steal from your family member? It's funny how they turn around and try to make us feel like the bad guy. So I see still a little depression here, though, for you, like a little bit. Is it getting better?
Yes, it's getting better. There's things about work and then some tactics which a client named Mo has tried on me, and with this guilt and trying to get away with things. And anyway, I just
basically... Is it the same lesson, Frank? Is it the same lesson?
Yes, it's the same lesson, basically. It is.
And that's why I said, if you don't learn it, God will keep giving it to you. Once you really make it clear that you are the kind of person who's kind and fair and just, not only to others but to yourself, and that old souls have this really warped thinking, it's okay, you did it to me. So a drunk driver runs us over with a Mack truck, and he says, oh, gee, I'm sorry. And we go, okay, I forgive you. God's going, wait a second, Frank. Wait a second, Cindy. You know, you don't have any legs now. This guy ran you over with a Mack truck. You have to go to the hospital. You've got to get artificial legs. You've got to take him to court. You've got to see him go to jail. Then you can forgive him. Like, we have to stop saying, oh, it's okay, you did it to me. And and the way that I've gotten around this now is when someone does something to me, I think, if someone did this to my daughter, how would I feel? It's amazing how I would be right up to that plate, right ready to do justice when it would be done to my child. So sometimes you have to start thinking, if someone did this to your child, what would you do? And it's a whole different thing, because you wouldn't let them get away with it, hurting your child. And that's an error in our thinking that we really have to work every day to stop thinking we have to be loyal to people who do not deserve our loyalty. And enough with turning the other cheek till we're slapped silly. So with Mo, God is saying again to you, well, Frankie, you're a good man. You're too good. But it isn't your job to allow these people to get away with things. The court case looks very good for you. It looks like you're going to get your money that, you know, you're entitled to. And that's important for you to know that, you know, when you do this, you'll become a stronger person. And you really, you know, will be a person who draws boundaries. You will be a person who people will not take advantage of. And I know it doesn't feel right, you know, in some ways, but after a while, like ask Nicole, doesn't it become second nature now? You just had to do something tonight that drew a boundary that said enough and you can't do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's Frank, you have to look at it this way. Like, kind of like Cindy said, where, you know, you have to think, you know, if somebody was doing this to my child, that you wouldn't do that. You have to remind yourself of something. You're not the one, per se, that's seeking out, you know, any kind of retribution. You're leaving, you know, the courts to do that for you. You know, it's not like you're the one that's going out and doing the punishing. All you're doing is you are putting yourself in a position where you are requesting justice. You're basically just asking the universe to grant you that much. And as a result, you're going to get it. You know, nobody should ever, ever feel sorry for sticking up for themselves. Nobody should ever feel sorry to get their just due. You know, I mean, sometimes if it's a question of, you know, security versus serenity, sometimes, yeah, it's better just to let certain things go. But if this is something that you absolutely cannot let go, and if this is something that can be detrimental to others in the future, then it's almost kind of like your karmic obligation to make sure that this doesn't happen to anybody else by standing up for yourself and standing up for your own rights.
And the more that
people... Because nobody deserves to be treated that way.
And the more that people hear that people are going after their own family members, that they're not letting their family members rob from them or take inheritances or doing things that are illegal. You know, a lot of times I hear women who their, you know, their husbands are guilty of signing their, you know, forging their name on, you know, to get credit cards, and then all of a sudden they have $50,000 in debt in their name. And these men think that their wives will never go after them or their girlfriends. I have so many clients whose boyfriends have rung up credit cards fraudulently, and these women have not put these men behind bars. They have let them get away with it, and they're working like two and three jobs to pay off a debt that's not theirs.
Jeez.
And people have to learn. These men will have to learn. No, you cannot do this to your girlfriends. You cannot do this to trusting people. And if you do, you will pay the price. It's not just you, Frank. It's everywhere. Nice people, people who are old souls, who are so kind and so good and so honest, are really being taken in this economy by people who are totally dishonest. So the more that people begin to realize that, you know, inner circle is no longer going to be acceptable for you to rob from us. I mean, Jesus said, and they didn't teach this in Catholic school because they didn't really want us to know this, but Jesus said, I came with a sword, not to make peace. I came to turn mothers against sons, brothers against brothers, fathers against their children, husbands against wives. What did that mean? It meant if you are going to be a person who is going to do things to me that are immoral and fraudulent and criminal, I will wage a war. And again, God asks us to be kind and to tell the truth. It's all you have to do. But this is, you're going to see in the next 10 or 20 years, what you're going to be doing is something that many more people will be doing. And these kind of fraudulent criminal people will have to go get some courage and go rob a deli or a stranger who they can really know they'll go to jail if they get caught. They're doing it because they haven't been punished. And, you know, people had underestimated you. You know, they think, oh, he's such a good guy, he won't do this. Again, you are a good guy. And, you know, this is the biggest probably lesson in your life. Once you've really waged war, most of us have to do it in a divorce. And that's what I tell you, divorce without drama and trauma. Marriage is a business arrangement, be fair and just. But a lot of times we have partners who don't want to be fair and just. And so, you know, we have to fight this battle one way or the other. And are you praying at night to do what's best for everyone, including yourself?
Oh, my. I pray in the morning and at night. And I'm thankful for today and for the gifts. And I ask for gifts constantly, and I give to wherever I go, to whomever I see. Anyway, I pray every day, every day. The only thing I should be doing is meditating more.
Right, and the meditation is important because prayer is us talking to God and requesting things, and meditation is how God answers. Because in that quiet space, we begin to hear things that we wouldn't hear. And it's also a very... probably one of the most important messages in meditation is you could shut your mind off, and most of us never can, but you could shut your mind off for an entire hour, and the world goes on spinning. You're not in control of the whole world. Your thoughts aren't all that important every minute of the day, and that most of our thoughts are so useless anyway. And the more we try, we push away the monkey mind, the thoughts that just keep bombarding us that are really meaningless or worry thoughts or obsessive thoughts, it allows the universe to pop the thoughts in our head, because 20% of our thoughts do not come from ourselves. They come from our spirit guide or dead people. And when we clear our own thoughts, those other thoughts pop into our head. So if you can keep in mind that meditation is important on many, many levels. And just, you know, people have to unplug their minds lately. You know, we all have our iPhones, our iPods, the TV on, you know, the emails, this, that. Our minds are really bombarded. So really we have to deliberately pick time to shut off, or we really never do have that silence.
And Frank, I have to tell you, meditation is something that I actually just started getting into within the past 8 months or so. And the value of that is just absolutely, it's inexplicable. you know, because I'm one of these like multitasker type of people where mm-hmm. in order for me to actually function, I need to be doing like three or four things at the same time. I cannot concentrate on just one thing at a time. I start something and then I have to start something else and I have to start something else. And it's the only way that I seem to get anything done is if I have, you know, multiple things going on. Since I began meditating, I'm a lot more clear. I am a lot more, you know, precise about what it is that I want. And it's just, and I feel just about 10 times better because, you know, just like sometimes we have to not pick up that phone and sometimes, you know, we just have to shut our cell phones off, you know, it's good to do that with your mind as well, you know, because like Cindy said, the world does go on without you. You know, you can be absent from this world for about an hour and it'll still go, you know, and things will still happen around you and nobody else's life will stop. You know, but at least you'll have the peace of mind to just let things be. And being is always, always a better choice than just, you know, forcing yourself to exist someplace where maybe it's better to take the back seat.
And Frank, you must realize you have a lot of divine guidance or you would not have found your way to our show.
Oh, my.
You would have heard the messages you needed to hear in a way that your own heart and soul has heard it, but you just haven't heard it reinforced by anybody. And when you heard it, it rang so true to you that you knew that you were guided to the exact right place. And that's very important, that the universe, when you meditate and you clear your mind, or before it you say, I really need to know this answer, the universe will hear you, just clear your mind, and then within a very short period, usually minutes, days at the most, you will be guided somehow to that answer. And, you know, your mother up there is so proud of you for what you're doing. It's something she should have taught you, but, of course, it wasn't taught to her. And if you can pass this message on to someone else in a conversation, when they're saying, oh, my God, this has happened to me, you know, my husband just did this fraudulent thing to me, oh, my God, I don't know what to do, you'll say, well, he belongs in jail. He has to pay for that. That's not your cross to carry. You can't work three more jobs to pay for his mistake. And if you can pass that on, and every person passes it on, the energy in the world begins to change. So God gave you this lesson because he thought you were strong enough to learn the real messages in it. So, you know,
yes.
It's all good. Do you know what I'm saying? Because from this, you've learned something so profoundly important that will alter the whole entire course of your life. And, you know, that's what I learned all these lessons the hard way. And so, you know, for me, when I teach these, it really is reinforcing in myself that when I have to watch out for my own back, because, you know, World War II was an energy of people not seeing evil. They did not see how evil Hitler was. And when they saw it, they were silent. And all the evil needs to flourish is good people that do nothing. So the same energy of you being silent, if you didn't fight this, would be the energy that caused World War II. And this is a lifetime in which we are never going to let that happen again. We're going to speak up and fight. Well, good luck to you. I know we have another caller. And, Frank, please keep us informed as it's coming. And if you just ever need that little jolt of, you know, hearing our voice, hearing, you know, us sending you lots of love and support, please call in because, you know, when you're going through something like this, you just can't have it reinforced enough.
Yes. Yes, I know. And I pass the word on, and I tell people, I'm Roman Catholic. I had my life basically just micromanaged in engineering. Until this happened, I was not aware of my surroundings. And it's so beautiful out there. It really is. I notice the leaves, the flowers, everything, the wind. Now and before, everything would get just in my way,
and that's not what life is. Because now you begin to realize, this has opened your soul in a very profound way. You know, God doesn't want us to learn through suffering, Frank. He really doesn't. But most of us, that's how we choose to learn. Now he wants you to learn the rest of your lessons through love, and you're beginning to learn that right now. And what you're doing is coming from a place of self-love. You love yourself enough to not let people walk over you anymore. And remember, it's not okay to do this to me. That's your motto. It's not okay. Whereas we usually say, well, I can take it. It's okay. You did it to me. I had a client, and she had witnessed her father raping her mother when she was 5 years old. And the father went to rape her. And when I was trying to say that's why, you know, she's now it's 50 years since that occurred, but she can never sleep at night. I said, don't you realize why you can't sleep? You've never gotten over that trauma. You're like a little girl on guard. And she goes, no, I don't think, I never even thought about it afterwards. I said, if this had happened to your daughter, what would you have done? She said, oh, my God, it's the most horrible. I said, how come it's horrible to happen to your daughter, but to you it was okay? And once this was brought to light, and this was about 2 months ago, she has slept every night like a baby.
Wow.
She needed to really face what was done to her. It wasn't okay. And it wasn't acceptable. And yes, her father belonged in jail. And the mother should have put the father in jail instead of letting him get away with this. Finally, the mother threw him out, which was, thank God. But can you see how he got away with rape?
Wow.
And that's what has to stop. And it begins with each and every one of us in our home saying, you have to treat me the way you would treat anyone else. And some people just have to be, they won't do what's right because it's right. Your sister, your siblings won't do what's right because it's right. They do what's right because they don't want to go to jail or they don't want to be punished. So that's how you have to deal with them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's a different energy. So if the only thing that keeps you from doing bad to me is fear that, you know, you'll go to jail, then so be it. Have that fear.
Sure, they earned it.
They've earned it. And for you, you know, this is going to be a wonderful year. You know, enjoy your life, enjoy the beauty. And please, the meditation also teaches you, Frank, you've done what you had to do now. In between the court dates, relax. Don't think about it. Forget about it until that day. And when you walk into that courtroom, you ask your mother to pop thoughts into the judge's head that says, this is my son, Frank, is a good man. Do what you have to do. Let your mother pop the thoughts in his head. Ask her to do it. That's her job. So bring that army of angels with you into the courtroom. But in between now and then, don't even think about it.
Yes, I'm trying not to. Just I can feel her energy, her hatred, her...
Of course you can. Of course you can. When I was getting a divorce, one day I was lying in my bed here in my apartment, and I heard my husband say in his mind, if I could have killed her, I would have. And I called my daughter the next day, and she was grown at the time. She was about 24. And she said, Daddy said yesterday he would have killed you if he could have. So I heard that energy. Now, of course, her father and I are friends. We have made peace. But just because we hear that doesn't mean the universe is just letting you know, don't, you know, think that she's a kind person. That's why you're hearing her telepathic messages. The universe is saying, don't underestimate her.
No.
You know, if she could kill you, she would. You know, the only reason she's
definitely
not is because she would go to jail. Do you know what I mean? That
yeah,
she might not get away with so easily.
Honestly, I'm surprised she doesn't have somebody parked in front of my car, in front of my house.
Well, that's why I'm saying to you, that's what God's way of letting you watch your back.
Yes.
That's the only reason those messages come through. Once you hear it and you acknowledge it, you say your angels and guides, I heard it, thank you, and let it go. It's just
right.
The way of to make sure you don't underestimate your enemy.
Yes.
Well, good luck,
so
and
much.
I know we have another caller, so Nicole, I don't know if you had time to screen this one.
Of course I did.
Oh, good.
Frank,
well, Frank,
thank you very much for joining us. We always like to hear from Frank. He's got some stuff going on this, and we're sending our good thoughts over to him. All right, now we are cruising over to L.A.
Oh, wow.
And we're going over
California.
To Los Angeles. Huh? Well, Juliana is from California. And basically, she's just looking for it to see what kind of messages are coming over from the other side for her.
Okay, good.
All right. Hello, Juliana. You're on the air?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Juliana. Well, there is...
Hello, Cindy.
The first card I got was a young person resting in peace. Who do you think that is?
Resting in peace? Young person?
A young person.
Oh, I don't know.
Probably about... no more than 40 years old.
Oh, yes, My ex-husband.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. And he's resting in peace.
Good.
I knew it's your husband because across from it is the husband card and the one that says, at the end of my life, I felt like everything I wanted to accomplish was because of you. He loved you no matter what. Are you aware of that?
Yes. Very much.
There's another more recent death. Who is the more recent death?
Well, more recent death is his father.
Okay, because you have his, first of all, his father is thanking you for everything you did for his son, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And your whole life has sort of been a little bit, not a little bit, pretty big turmoil and sort of changed a lot.
But, mm-hmm.
But the changes now are about to be really good. You have a wonderful five-year period opening up. It's the world card, which signifies all by your naked self, you have everything you need to survive. And you need to start visualizing where you want to be 5 years from now in terms of love, in terms of health and money. There's a new source of income here. What are you doing for a living now?
Oh, actually, I'm not doing anything. I am in search of career. Change my career path. That's why I'm not doing anything.
Well, that's what it is. You really changed your whole life.
Right. Yes, I actually took this opportunity. I said, this is good. I get to change, do whatever I want to do. So I'm looking for a job that I want to do.
Mm-hmm. And there is a new job here, by the way. And it will
wonderful.
Be very lucrative. So that's why you need to visualize yourself making money in a way that is, that you love and that's productive and it yields money. You know, this is not just a job here. This is a good career coming up.
Yes.
There's also another man going to be coming in the near future.
Oh, wow.
A really good man, by the way.
That's good. I need one.
Yeah, I know, because your ex-husband really did love you, but there's a lot of things he would have done differently.
Right.
If he could come back down now, and I need you to get some comfort in your heart for this. Not every person who dies changes or sees the light anytime soon. Your husband was not dead long when he saw all the things he did wrong. And if he was given another opportunity, he would love you so much better. And
yes, you're right. He did love me very much, but he didn't know how to love me.
Right, and that's why he's saying to you, he has a lot of regrets and remorse because of it, and that you loved him very unconditionally, and he took a lot of advantage of that. And again, if he were to come down now, he would be the kind of man you would deserve. He's allowed to gift you with a man, one person to love. And the universe has chosen a really good man for you, one who's going to really know how to love you. And it is linked to your new career. That's why you had to change your whole life, because your soulmate is linked to this whole big change.
Mm.
So shaking up your life is exactly what the universe wanted you to do.
Yes.
And you're hearing a lot of divine guidance.
Okay.
It's the gentle thoughts that are telling you, have faith, don't be afraid, it's all good. You don't know your own strengths. You're a very old soul, which means you've been around the planet a lot. You underestimate your talents and your skills, by the way.
I hear that a lot, actually, Cindy.
So what you need to do is, younger souls are very good at, the art of bullshit. You know, they'll go in and tell the employee they know how to do everything. And meanwhile, after, a month, the employee goes, boy, this person knows how to do nothing. You need to sell yourself, market yourself a little better. You know, you have too much humility here. So it's really going to be the most wonderful five-year period of your entire life. You're going to get married again, by the way.
Oh,
this
wow.
This is going to be a real heart, soul, mind, body love. I mean, And you really should have left your husband. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And because you wouldn't, you didn't seem to have the heart to divorce him.
No. Mm-hmm.
God took him from you because this man was not serving your higher good or his. He wasn't learning what he should have while he was here on earth. He has learned now in spirit, thank God. But you're going to be, because you made that vow to dust you apart, and you meant it.
Yes, exactly. Yes, okay. Exactly. That's the only reason I never left him.
And mm-hmm. and that's why God took him, because you deserve a better man. And your husband, in full agreement with this,
okay.
that he should have been the one who walked away from you because he was the one who didn't deserve you, but he didn't have the courage to do that. So, mm-hmm. again, you know, you have a lot of good karma surrounding you, a lot of good energy. Go in there, you know, this is a whole new time. For, you know, your husband says there is a certain sense of relief now that he's gone. And don't feel guilty about that,
because
now you're free to choose again.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be with you and guide you and watch over you. He's sending you so much love. He's sending you roses and chocolate candy and everything sweet and good.
Uh-huh, yes.
And he is really extremely apologetic. So
you know, the thing that he used to, we lived in Belgium, and they were famous
for their chocolate
for a long time. Yes, he used to bring me particular chocolate, my favorite of chocolate, just as a treat.
Right.
And
Nicole, have you ever heard me say sending chocolate to anybody before?
No.
What?
That's why I've got it.
No,
I
never
heard.
I've never said that because he came through to say he would send you chocolate.
Wow.
No, I've never ever heard him ever say anything like
that. And that's why he wanted you to know definitively that he is near you and loving you.
Yeah.
And remember that when he brought you the chocolate, that's the man who loved you. And,
right.
And that's the man he is now. The man who brings you chocolate and wishes you only good things. And if you could forgive him and just send him lots of love, because he is now the man that you fell in love with in the beginning when you saw the goodness of his soul.
Why?
It was his ego that was so bruised and so damaged.
Yes.
Right, but his soul
so much.
Is so purely loving you. It's unbelievable. And, you know, just he's so glad that you called, because he's been wanting to give you signs. He's been wanting, you know, to tell you these things. But until you knew that he's changed, you probably didn't really want him in your world. But he
You're right.
Changed and incredibly grateful for everything. Did he drink or something?
Oh, my God. That's how
he
died.
He's apologetic for his alcoholism.
Very severe. Mm-hmm.
He isn't in the realm of heaven that most alcoholics stay, because you stay in a realm where you can see all the pain you've caused, but you can't do anything to help it because you didn't do anything on earth. He only stayed in there for a very short time because he got it. As soon as he saw it, he said, "Oh, my God, I can't believe what I have done." He almost said it within a week or two of his death. So he's in a nicer realm, and he's begging you to forgive him, and especially for some things he said when he was under the influence.
He was
very much self-medicating. He was mentally ill at some level, and it helped at first when he drank. Of course, then he couldn't control it, so then it wasn't good anymore. Nicole, do you have anything to add to what we've said here?
You know what, Sin? All I can possibly say is that I think it's, well, first of all, congratulations to you, because I think that's absolutely incredible, like how much you just got through for her. But I don't know. I guess all I can say is, you know, the good thing that you can draw from this is that, you know, you have somebody that's looking over you, that loves you. You've got a lot of great things on the horizon. And as long as you just live each and every day knowing that, you know, that you basically that you have that kind of guidance looking over you. Just make sure that you keep your ears open to it, listen to it, you know, experience the love that you have in your life, and then just good luck with whatever love is about to come into your life, you know, and just make sure that you embrace it with both hands.
And remember, you know, you can't have soulmate love and remain an addict or an alcoholic or a spendaholic or a rageaholic. So even though the love started out of soulmate love, when he couldn't heal his addiction, he rang it down to toxic love, very angry love, where, you know, you became two lunatics raging behind closed doors, you know. I mean, you were a good person that got involved with it because you thought your love could heal him.
Right.
One of those things, if you could pass the message to people, they can only heal themselves.
Well, Cindy, I mean, I think on some level everybody wants to, you know, heal another person, especially, you know, if they're a person that you're falling for. Now, the good thing that you can take out of this is because, you know, yes, it's sad that you know, you had that kind of existence with him in his life. But at the same time, though, you know what, you can just take, I guess, comfort in the fact that, you know, he's a healed person now. And, you know, he couldn't love you the way that he wanted to in life. And overall, the person that you saw whenever you looked at him and you had, like, that love for him, that whenever you looked at him and you knew that you were in love with him, he's that person all the time now, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really, really what you should be embracing, is because, you know, for the first time, I think, ever, he's probably being the person that you always thought he could be.
And he is at
yeah.
peace now. He is at peace
mm-hmm.
because he's speaking to you. He knows he broke your heart time and time again.
Broke my soul as well.
Yeah, and but this is a wonderful soulmate coming, a man who's, there's a little information about him. He's very successful. He's extremely loving and kind and strong-willed, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
You'll know that this man comes from your husband, because it is the way that your husband would have been able to love you had he been able to overcome.
It's very funny, Cindy, because I knew what kind of man he really was. As you said, I didn't know he was actually had a drinking problem after I got married. For me, that was about holding the marriage together and family together. So that's why I stayed as long as I was able to. I always felt he loved me so much, and he would think I would deserve somebody, at least what he would give me, and he would bring somebody to me. So somehow I just knew this. So,
you just know that. And again,
yeah.
You know, in our show we always talk about, you know, we wonder, how do we not see these things? Because old souls don't see evil. We don't see that people lie to us.
Hindsight is 20/20.
Right, and by time we see it, these are really the princes that become the beast. You know, he didn't show you his colors. That's why you didn't see them. You know, and you're not the only woman who's had the prince that became the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the future, for you to sort of, you know, you might be tested. God may give you a couple of things to see if your radar is right on target. From now on, you're going to see if you catch them in a little lie, that's a pretty good sign they're a pathological liar, because it makes no sense why you lie about little things. It certainly makes sense if you lie while you cheat, you know, if you say, I didn't cheat on you. Yeah, well, that's a big lie. That's lying because you know I'll leave you. But if you just lie about stupid things, it's already telling you the person is a pathological liar. You're also going to see, how does this man treat other people, you know, his children or his employees or the waiter, you know, you're going to be very careful to see that.
Right.
And, you know, who are
his
friends? If all his friends are drunks, there's a pretty good chance he's one too. You know, so your radar will be much, much stronger, you know, this time around. And, you know, in the future, your husband's just saying, when a man isn't good to you, that's the time to leave. You know, he really, really feels terrible for having, you know, put you through so much. And at this point, he's saying you're never to make excuses for anybody's abuse again, ever.
Oh,
you know,
that's so nice.
You deserve so much better. And, you know, he has a very charismatic smile up there. I bet you he had it in life, because
mm-hmm.
he's he's grinning from like ear to ear, and and so absolutely happy. And he's free of the prison that his body became. You know, he was sick and he couldn't stop feeding the addiction. And so, you know, without that body that was so damaged, he really is free. So that's another thing for you to keep in mind.
Good. Cindy, I have one question.
Sure.
When he's around, is there any is some symbolic thing or anything that I should, he can tell me he's around, you know,
likes music. Do you hear in the car songs that he liked? If you just jump in the car and they're playing, he will give you signs through music. He's telling you, you know, look for chocolate. You know, look for, you know, you know, just if you see, you know, you smell chocolate or, you know, that comes into your mind. He's sitting beside a woman who's praying with rosary beads. Do you know who that is?
Yes, my grandma.
Your grandma. And your grandma's saying she has been praying frantically for his soul. And she's so glad to see that he's better. And your grandma says, when you see rosary beads, you know of her. You know it's, she's around. You know, she just turns her head.
Yes, well, that lady, I mean, that's the only thing I know. She had a rosary in her hand all the time. So that's my grandmother.
Right, and she's saying if you see rosaries, she's nearby. Your husband is saying to you, you can pretty much, if we're not sure we're seeing the signs from a dead person, we can tell them what you can give me. Do you know what I mean? Like, pretty much, you know, when my father passed on, I used to always make a joke before this that when you see dimes, and it's true, the dime is a universal symbol of calling. Remember when a dime used to be, you know, you had a dime because you could make a phone call. Well, now there's no universal symbol for a call anymore. You would, you know, see a cell phone. When I would say right before my father died, well, I think people ought to start putting a quarter down. I mean, a dime isn't even get you anywhere. And when the day my father died and I had to go to the bank, I walked out of the bank and there was a quarter right on the floor in front of me. And I realized that he had picked up my little joke to be the sign from him, is a quarter.
Okay.
So sometimes you can, you know, tell him what sign you may want to see.
Okay.
He also comes in sort of a form of like a bit like a breeze. Sometimes if you're just sitting there and you just feel this like gentle sort of breeze. A breeze across your body?
For me, it's about flower smell. Flower smell I relate to.
Because that's why he said he would send you flowers and he would send you chocolate.
Floral scent.
Right. Yes. So those are things that are definitely him. And, you know, again, he's got a lot of hard work to do up there. He's got a lot of lessons to do. He's hurt a lot of people, not just you.
Yes, so I know.
He has a lot of regrets about them. He has to still be in a fairly low realm of heaven sometimes, which is pretty hell-like, until those people heal. So, you know, he's grateful because of your healing and your forgiveness. But did you keep his slippers or something? He's talking about something of his that you still have around the house.
If I have, his ring, he's from university.
Your ring, because
I have.
You have that, and he, you know, he likes that you have things of his or whatever you have, and you can just, if you need him, just, you know, hold it or go near it. He so wants you to just remember everything good and not to rewrite history. Don't make a saint of him. But there's nothing left to learn in holding on to the pain anymore.
I would try.
I know.
From time to time, it just comes like a wave. But
I know, and that's
I'm
why he's saying to you, it should pass now because you really did need closure. You really did need to hear him say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong. Forgive me." And
it's hard sometimes because I have two children, you know, sometimes, like my daughter is graduating from law school next week, and I know I will be thinking of him, and I know I'm as happy as I will be, I'll be very, very sad because of him not being there as a father.
But you know what, I just got the justice card, which is the scale of justice. And then there's another one. There's only two cards with scales of justice in the entire Rider Waite deck. Sometimes I wish we were on television and could see it. Believe me, he'll be there. Believe me, he'll be there at that ceremony.
Yes.
He will be there. And there's the card where the little boy gives the little girl flowers.
Mm-hmm.
That's your husband giving you flowers. He will be there. He will give you a very clear sign on the graduation.
Okay.
He could not be prouder.
Yes.
So, you know, again, he was more harm than good, and that's why God took him. And
yes.
If you remember, he had a wake-up call in which he should have stopped drinking. He just didn't yield it. I mean, for a little while he did, but then he went back to his old ways.
You
need to know, because he was more harm than good, that's why he's not here. And you know, and he gets it. And you're a very good mother, by the way.
Thank you.
Very good mother. He is saying that your children are going to relive their marriage. He knows I say this every time. Our children always have to relive the marriage they saw before the age of five.
Mm-hmm.
When your children see they can't rescue a person,
mm-hmm.
and you can see they're picking the kind of person that needs rescuing. You can say, can you see now why I could not rescue your father? And in that will come great peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
our children always try to judge us. They try to say, if I were married, I'd never let my husband drink. Or if I were married, my husband wouldn't drink because I'd be so wonderful. If I were married, I'd leave my husband if he were a big drunk. Well,
mm-hmm.
you know what? Life's a lot harder than we thought it was. And so, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you see your children making some of the same mistakes,
right,
which they
right.
will, just look at it and
yeah.
smile and say, okay, now you can see why I did what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, there'll be a lot of lessons. Your daughter does think about her father a lot, by the way.
Yes.
She
yes.
loved him in spite of everything. That's the ironic part.
Pardon me?
She loved him in spite of everything.
Oh, very, very much. She has a capacity for very great unconditional love. So she'll be doing a humanitarian law, so which I'm very proud of. So yes, she learned. She loves him unconditionally more so than my son. Yes.
Oh no, your son is the one who's judged his father very harshly.
Why? Yes.
You need to warn him, because whatever we judge, we become. Nicole knows this. And if we judge and say, I'll never be an alcoholic, or I'll never be an, you know, okay, maybe he won't be an alcoholic, but he could become a spendaholic, a rageaholic, a prescription drug addict. He could
mm-hmm.
become a workaholic. That's the nicer spot.
Mm-hmm.
We will always become what we judge.
Mm-hmm.
So try to get him to the place of not judging.
Yes.
Because in doing it, we will become it. And mark my word, we will. And one way or along the line, I mean, I just had a wonderful woman call me, and her husband had always said he would never, you know, cheat on his wife the way that a father did. Well, he came very close to cheating on his wife. And I said, well, the message to him is stop judging. You know, stop judging. and if you learn that, you know, the sooner you learn it, the better. So, you know, again, we're so glad that you called in, and I hope it helped you, and I hope it helps you sleep better. And he did. This was his gift for your daughter's graduation. If you can tell her that her father's at peace and tell him some of the things that we shared and that he is seeing her at the graduation, he is extremely proud.
Well, she can listen to this in archive, so which is
yes.
a great good
Let
thing.
Her listen
yes.
to it, because
yes, I'm going to listen to it with her next week together.
Because
so
this is absolutely his gift to her.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, he wanted you to speak to me of all psychics, because he didn't want you to just hear him saying, I'm sorry. He wanted you to hear much more of his heart and soul and how he's felt and how he has suffered up there and how he has had to see every act he did, every bad word, every bad deed, and it has been extremely painful to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But he has come to understand, and he still has to forgive himself. That's a little ways down the line for him, but he is at peace now. Because he knows in the laws of karma, it's all, you know, it's working out the way it should. So, you know, share it with her, give her a big kiss from him, and you know, he always made her laugh, and so he's still laughing with her.
Thank you so much for wonderful messages that you give to me, and wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for the email. So I received it 2 days ago, so I was looking forward to today. So thank you very much.
Oh, good. Okay.
Excellent.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay, so you can see.
And we've got about 4 minutes left, and we're done with our callers tonight.
Oh, good.
Look at that.
We actually
ended on time.
And that's good. And I liked the two callers very much that we got because, you know, especially hearing from Frank again and any of our listeners, we like to hear from you. And, you know, a lot of my clients, Nicole, say even what you say, sometimes they just want a reading because they just want to hear my voice. They just want to hear me reinforce those same don't be loyal to a fault things. You know, they want to hear you, don't rescue. Because, you know, they want to hear those things, and they need to hear it because old souls feel a lot of guilt. So whenever we do what's right for ourselves.
Well, you know what I think? I think it's like when I talk to you, Cindy, you know, I mean, not when we're just speaking as friends, but, you know, when I actually do get readings from you, because believe it or not, guys, I do get readings from Cindy still, even though she is my friend now. But it's one of those things where I think at heart, we all know, you know, what the answer is. You know, deep down inside, we all know. Sometimes we just need that little bit of validation, and we need that little bit of just somebody saying, you know what, you're not losing your mind. Yes, you're right. You're on track. Or,
and
you know what, you're trying
person.
To talk yourself into something. Exactly. You're trying to talk yourself into something, and you really know that you should be doing the exact opposite. You know, so, I mean, sometimes I need that validation. I think that it's the same thing with our callers. You know, sometimes people just want to hear at the end of the day that everything is going to be okay. You'd be surprised how many people go through their entire days and not one person says, you know what, don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
And that's what we need to hear. And a lot of times, if we could, you know, speak the things that you're hearing here. And a lot of the same karmic lessons are over and over. It's, no matter what it is, we're hearing a lot of the same things. You know, it sounds like I'm talking in cliches, but it really is the same answers over and over again. And so the more that you reinforce it and say it, it becomes second nature. It'll come out of your mouth one day and you go, oh, my God, I can't believe I knew what to say.
Yeah, absolutely. But and it's that. But it's also, like, people also have to keep in mind, just because they're not the ones that are calling in, per se, you know, or even with me, like, just because I'm ducking in and out of what you're saying because I'm going into the chat room and I'm doing other things with the other prospective callers. But you know what? Sometimes it's about us, too. Sometimes I need to hear those lessons again. Sometimes just the people listening need to hear those lessons again.
And sometimes I need to hear them again.
You know, we all need a refresher course. Sometimes it's just Cliff's Notes. You know, you read the book once, and now you just need the Cliff's Notes to give you the highlights.
Absolutely. Now, Nicole, I know we were talking about this summer. I think what, you know, we're going to be doing is maybe the first and third week of every month.
Okay.
And, you know, and if you could figure out what time works for you and if we want to do it a little earlier, because some of our listeners would like that because, you know, they don't listen.
Well, that would be great. Well, you know what? You field our listeners' emails, you know, Cindy. So, you know what? Why don't we take a consensus of when, you know, those emailers want to hear us, and we'll see what we can work out that, you know, works out for everybody, you know?
That's good because my shout-out is to Nicole, my producer. I could not do this without her. The format is very hard to do, and she is great at it. And, Nicole, do you have any shout-outs?
Yes, I do have shout-outs. Well, first of all, you and I had a very nice conversation this week, Cindy, so I just want to thank you very much for that. You really kind of set my mind at ease.
It's my pleasure.
And, you know, and I also want to give a shout-out to a great band who's going to be at Kelly's in Wausau Friday night. Band's name is called Andre Jack. Okay,
wow.
You can see them at www.andrejack.com. They're a very, very talented group of people. And Kelly's, for those of our gay listeners, is a gay bar. They will be there Friday night. And my shout-out goes out to them.
Right. Wow, that was great shout-outs. And I will be at the book fair in East Hampton, Author's Night, Saturday, August 14th. At 5 p.m. to 7, and there's going to be lots of famous authors there and celebrities, so it's a great event. So I hope I'll see you all there. It is a fundraiser for the library. East Hampton's one of the few libraries that's totally supported by donations, so it's important.
Wow.
I know. I couldn't believe it when I heard that either. Well, we'll speak to you next week. Thank you for everything, Nicole, and everybody have a great week.
And we still love you, even though Kim's not here to say it. We love you all.
Oh, my God. I know. She's very mixed. Okay, bye.
Good night.